You're watching Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. As you can see, we're back in the studio. We're slowly making our way back into the office. It's a slow transition, but I have to say, the whole returning back to the office brings about unique challenges, both to myself as well as the organization. This can be extrapolated and extended to other businesses in the country and perhaps even across the world, where companies and employees are slowly transitioning towards embracing a new normal, perhaps even embracing hybrid coexistence between home and office. And because of that, we have to look hard at the infrastructure that provides such service and assistance for the employees and employers to remain productive. Companies like Snowflake, for instance, a data cloud company, continues to provide support and assistance to such businesses who aspire to achieve such items. And of course, we have to also look into what Snowflake does for their own clients, particularly in the consumer processed goods industry. Joining us is Jeff Soon, the Managing Director of South Asia of Snowflake, joining us from Singapore. How are you doing, Jeff?
Very well, Ibrahim, and thank you very much for inviting me onto your show.
So let's take a look into this whole new normal that we speak of. It's a cliche to start using terms like the big reset, unprecedented times, and so on. We've been at it for over 1.5 years now. But for countries like Malaysia, the end is nowhere in sight. And for Singapore, interestingly enough, you guys have weathered through the storm and over 30% have received at least one dose and are well on your way to herd immunity. But the conversation is never about achieving that, you know, desired 75% or some even argue 85%. There's data that shows that these changes of the virus may render vaccination completely useless. So, of course, the data is still coming in. But the story is that this pandemic might soon be endemic, i.e. it's never going to go away. Because of this, companies are embracing new change, new ways of doing things. How are things being carried out at Snowflake, and how are your clients doing in that sense?
Well, Ibrahim, I think, you know, one of the interesting things about Snowflake is that we recently listed probably around about 6 months ago on the New York Stock Exchange, and we did this during the middle of the COVID-19 situation. But the one thing that's been really helpful for us as an organization is that our technology, our data cloud technology, has really made it easy for our customers to adapt to, and not to be cliched, but to adapt to the new normal. So specifically, Snowflake is an organization that makes it very easy for our customers to break down all the data silos that may exist within their organization, to govern it in an incredibly secure way, but most importantly, to be able to take action against that data. So if you look at it, pre-pandemic, organizations had the luxury of doing things relatively with the same velocity, with the same consistency. With the advent of the pandemic, organizations have, in a very short period of time, had to reimagine how they're going to meet the current needs of their customers, but also reimagine what their organizations may look like over the next few years, if in case, as you mentioned, this is actually an endemic and not a pandemic situation.
The reality is, as such, where different countries are grappling differently with the pandemic. And while this is a national health story, it's also a national economic story. Countries like Malaysia, for instance, we had to go through another lockdown, a full lockdown, as it's dubbed by the media. And this has greatly impacted how businesses move about, get about their goods and services, retailers trying to reach out to more customers. Companies like Grab or Food Panda, they're still surviving, but it's not that easy for consumers in suburban and rural areas to get about their services done. And, like I said, while we want this lockdown to end, we understand why it's being done, and therefore we understand why it can't end, just yet at least. Because of this story of recovery being taking so long to take shape, at least for Malaysia, and I'm pretty sure it's happening in other countries as well, how are you guys trying to navigate through this problematic situation that the entire South Asia, so to speak, is going through? Southeast Asia is going through like that, India, Pakistan, and other areas as well around the world.
I think as a technology provider, one of the things that we've really had to do is listen to the changing demands of our customer base. So I think long gone is the situation where, you know, we as a technology vendor can expect our customers to pay us a large upfront sum of money. And also the whole concept of, you know, this constant subscription has also faded away, because as you know, our customers and the people out there, the demand is going up and down depending on whether or not there's a lockdown, depending on, you know, these macro situations. So the one thing that Snowflake has done from day one has really helped our customers is we offer our service on a consumption basis. So you only pay for as much as you use. And that's been really helpful to many of our customers out there, because for some of them, they've seen actually a significant dip in their activity. But we're also very fortunate to deal with organizations that have seen a massive rise in their activity because they've been able to pivot to the new services and requirements of a COVID world.
The retail sectors, at least in Malaysia, has shrunk considerably. The Malaysia retail sales report published in March this year shows a significant contraction in the two subsectors of retail, which is fashion as well as department stores consumption. And because of this, it's also considerably hard for retail companies to come back stronger. Or at least if they do come back, it's going to take a longer time to recover. Where do you think your company fits in terms of helping retail companies in particular come back from the disaster that is impacting them following the pandemic?
Sure. So Snowflake as a data company can help in two ways. And the first way is really to help these organizations rapidly digitize. So as you mentioned, you've talked about retail, there's concepts such as restaurants, et cetera. These organizations have had to adjust very rapidly to take on advantage of online channels. So the ability for Snowflake to break down silos between, for example, your supply chain, your delivery partner, the way that you're actually working to merchandise your content, and to be able to draw insights from that has helped our organizations and our customers digitize quite rapidly. So we have, for example, telecommunication companies in Singapore that are using our technology to create very customized plans that they can take to market. We've had a payment gateway provider that's based in, you know, both Singapore and Malaysia take advantage of our technology so that they can offer more diverse more diverse payment options to many of these mums and pop shops that previously don't have the ability to go and create a merchant account with, you know, a large bank. So we see a lot of these more agile players stepping in and providing offerings such as payment systems. Now, I think in terms of looking beyond surviving, and I think we all have to do that, as much as it's important to focus on keeping the lights on, we really need to look at how we can use technology to ensure that our businesses are future-proof. And I think there's a couple of things that Snowflake can do specifically in that area. The first thing is really to reimagine how these retailers, and you mentioned fashion providers, et cetera, can improve their category management. And category management is effectively a fancy name for merchandising. So if you look at it...
Sorry, is this basically SKUs? Is that what you're...
How can I optimize my mix of SKUs to optimize the compellingness of my online shop or my retail shop? How can I ensure that customers select this item over another item? So I think, you know, previously data has been really siloed and stuck. And what we're hoping to do with Snowflake, and what we are doing for many of our customers, is really improving things in three areas. The first one is just giving you more and more near real-time to real-time information on what's actually working. So rather than, you know, a traditional basis of, you know, ordering new merchandise every 2 weeks or so, and then having to manually reconcile what's moving off shelves and what's not, giving you this almost real-time information via your POS systems of what's moving in and which are the most popular items are helping people actually tailor what they're doing. The second area that I think we've all been the beneficiaries of, but a little bit spoiled, is given the amount of time we spend on our mobile phones, given the amount of information that we're sharing about ourselves, I have a very high expectation that when someone reaches out to me, the content is hyper-personalized. I don't take kindly to getting offers for, you know, lipstick or something. I expect something that's very akin to my taste. So once again, Snowflake provides the data foundation to allow retailers to create customer 360 profiles so that when they start to engage with you via an online medium, the content that we're pushing to you is very, very targeted. And I think the final thing that Snowflake does quite well is we partner very, very closely with the various marketing clouds out there, as well as data science tools, so that retailers can start to become, rather than reactive, a little bit more predictive in terms of what their customers are likely to want and to ensure that these items are exposed to them. So I know in Malaysia, the MCO has been going on for, well, has been, you're up to version 3, right? I think, you know, once again, using predictive...
Point one, if you want to be all detailed about it, because we had the lockdown, and there's a full lockdown, there's an extended full lockdown, so I guess 3.1, point one. Yeah. I don't know, I've lost count.
Phase 2 heightened. Yeah. But once again, you know, using these external data sources to actually start to optimize and plan inventory can be extremely useful as well.
You see, the thing about hyper-personalization is that it's always good for the consumer to receive offers that is hyper-personalized, is directly usable for me. The utility of it is great. But then there's a whole issue of tracking over apps over the device. iOS, the latest patch, will ask users to stop apps from tracking them. And of course, this is the larger conversation is on how our data, consumer data, is being used for for-profit and commercialized entities to benefit from them. And I think this brings about a more, you know, greater debate. It's not just about profitability of a company; it's about the sanctity and privacy of a person or a user. Where does Snowflake stand when it comes to the privacy of consumers?
Actually, this is a topic that, as a company, we're incredibly passionate about. If you look at our actual platform from the ground up, we've always had security and privacy built into it. We have many customers that manage both their personal data, but we're even managing healthcare data on behalf of some of the providers out there. So from the ground up, privacy and security have been built into the Snowflake platform. One of the most interesting things is we're now starting to work with publishers such as NBC Universal and others in terms of how we can create much more transparent to the consumer data sharing. So we are working with many organizations out there to allow entities to create things such as data clean rooms where different organizations can share data while respecting the privacy of their individual customers, but start to do some analytics on overlapping customer sets. So this is actually one of the most hot areas that Snowflake is currently working in, how we can actually allow data sharing in a safe, secure, and private manner.
So the next question would be very much closely related to this, because there is no greater form of threat other than the COVID-19 itself, of course, when it comes to businesses, which is security and cyber threat and cybersecurity. And of course, you know, we've often read about businesses losing data or their data has been compromised, their customers' data has been compromised, inventory being stolen via cyber attacks. It's just strange right now, you know, the whole idea of bad guys kicking down the door with face masks on is no longer applicable. You know, I can steal you from or rob you from thousands of kilometers away, theoretically speaking. Mm. How do you think businesses can come back to protect their enterprise from these kind of risks?
So I think when you look at cybersecurity, a lot of people like to think there's, you know, these giant hacker groups out there that are specifically targeting organizations. And while that is true, like if you look at the media and you look at a lot of recent incidents, in many cases, it's actually been internal people within the actual organization that are either themselves taking advantage of hacking the data or their lack of processes. So I think from the first thing is we always have to ensure that we've addressed the people aspect of security. You know, are people doing the most basic things? Are they rotating their passwords? Are they not keeping it on a post-it pad, within their desk? Are we creating an environment where people understand and have an incentive to take care over the privacy of the data that they may be a custodian over? So that's the people aspect. From a technology perspective, what Snowflake does is a couple of things. So firstly, because we're a SaaS service, we've taken much of the responsibility for actually providing the service, for securing the service, for encrypting all the data within our service upon ourselves. So as a consumer, it's actually really quite easy to use Snowflake because we're taking care of a lot of the management of these processes ourselves, and we're also ensuring that we're meeting relevant government guidelines. So in the case of, as you mentioned, retailing or e-commerce, one of the key standards is the PCI DSS standard, where it relates to the ability to take a payment card, such as a Visa or a MasterCard. Once again, Snowflake has a team of people ensuring that we continue to be compliant with that. We have other regulations that relate to specific industries, such as HIPAA or HITRUST when it comes to healthcare, SOC 2 Type 2. So Snowflake as an organization is taking care of a lot of the technology aspects so that the organization can focus on the people aspects of maintaining a secure environment.
We'll go for one short break before we continue our conversation with Snowflake. Thanks for continuing to be with us. I have with me on the line from Singapore, Jeff Soon, the MD of Snowflake. Jeff, let's talk a little bit more about the industry landscape per se. I think everybody talks about businesses recovering, but at least in Malaysia, it's important for us to contextualize what is happening right now, particularly when it comes to retailers and SMEs. The SME Association debates that or presents an argument that up to 40% of small and medium-sized enterprises will shutter their businesses. And this brings about over 400, even 500,000 small and medium-sized companies from ceasing its operations. And because of this, there's a lot of debate into how companies like yourselves could actually help many of them to either come back or at least those that are still surviving through this pandemic to continue to survive until the economy hopefully recovers. Where do you see your role in terms of helping these businesses come back from the brink of destruction, so to speak?
Yeah, Ibrahim, I think that's a fantastic question. And I think Snowflake and many of our peers really have an obligation to the SMB sector to dramatically lower the cost of entry and to make it far easier to use our technology. And I'm really thankful that I see many organizations out there that are actively doing this. So, you know, if we went back two or 5 years in time, right, it would be almost impossible for any of these SMBs to have world-class video conferencing technology. And we've seen Zoom step up and really make it a lot easier, whether or not you run a tuition center, whether or not you need to do a one-to-one consultation to take care of this video conferencing requirement in a very, very cheap and cost-efficient way. Snowflake wants to do exactly the same thing when it comes to data and helping organizations take advantage of the data that they have within themselves. So rather than getting a mum and pop to build a data center, buy servers, deploy all this complex software and maintain it, Snowflake as a SaaS service is incredibly accessible. I mean, you can literally swipe a credit card and get going with our service within a couple of hours. It makes it really easy for these organizations to get started with us because of the low consumption-based pricing. But most importantly, we've also built our technology on industry standard SQL. And when it comes to analytics, SQL is pretty much the most commonly used and most commonly known language for analytics. So it makes it very easy for the small SMB organizations to take advantage of university graduates with their SQL skills and start to deliver some insights into their business.
The thing about this is that people are also talking about resources that can be made available for them. I know you alluded to the fact that it's consumption basis, pay as you go kind of model. But do you feel that are there any other methods of working together with your clients or prospective clients? Does this include consultancy even or non-revenue assistance of any kind?
Yeah, so one of the things that we're looking at doing in other countries in the ASEAN region is actually partnering with some of the universities to really ensure that the graduates that come out of these universities have the key skill sets required for them to be immediately productive. And you know, this is an area that we're very interested in speaking to any organizations, higher learning organizations, where we can potentially be of service.
Final question, Jeff, which is on the productivity of retailers per se. I just want to end on that note. From an inventory point of view, how do you think retailers can optimize supply chain by improving on their connect point of sales and perhaps even connecting their suppliers with consumer packaged goods? How do you think that on the operational aspect is going to tie up together with all of their businesses?
I think, you know, the key to that is really introducing as much real-time telemetry as possible. You know, the ability to, in real time or near real time, understand what your demand profile is, the ability to dynamically adjust your supply chain, and that constant transparency that you provide back to your merchandisers and to management is absolutely critical. And it's something that, you know, Snowflake is focusing on enabling with our platform.
Fantastic. That was Jeff Soon, the Managing Director of Snowflake South Asia. If you've missed any part of this interview, just head on to astroawani.com. Look for Notepad over there. You can also search for Snowflake on astroawani.com. Till then, thanks very much for watching and goodbye.